Dear congregation, almost is a powerful word. A word that creates its own picture. Hear these sentences. Becky and I almost got married. We almost avoided the accident. Dad almost made it through surgery. I almost quit smoking. I'm almost ready. I almost killed myself. I almost do my devotions. I almost surrendered my life to Jesus. I almost changed my ways. Almost is huge. Talk about a fork in the road, a defining moment that forever changes outcomes. The difference between almost and completely, partially and totally, is huge. If you think 99.9 is just fine, listen to the difference between 99.9% and 100%. Almost and totally. At 99.9%, there would be 1,300 phone calls misplaced by telecommunication services every minute, 107 incorrect medical procedures performed today, 18,000 pieces of mail would be mishandled in an hour, 810 commercial airline flights would crash every month, 20,000 incorrect drug prescriptions would be written in 12 months, and 22,000 checks would be deducted from the wrong bank account in the next 60 minutes. These illustrations paint a picture between almost and totally. Word pictures help us grasp an idea. And Jesus was a master illustrator. Chapter 13 in the book of Matthew, which we're going to look at in a minute, is all about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus wants to make sure we understand this concept so we prepare to be citizens in the kingdom of heaven. And so that chapter 13 has so many illustrations in it, and it goes from one to the other. Here's some of them, most of them you're familiar with. It starts with, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out to sow. And you all know the parable of the sowers. And then it says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and that's the story of the wheat and the tares. And then the next one, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And then the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl buried in a field. And Jesus uses repetition and highlights different features to help us understand the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom he came to usher in and wants us to be committed to. And in the passage, Matthew 13, starting at verse 47, Jesus continues with another parable to explain the kingdom of heaven. We'll turn to that now and we'll read from Matthew 13, verse 47, page 1394 in your pew Bible. Page 1394. Verse 47 in Matthew 13. Hear the word of God. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. That is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. This is one of the tough portions in Matthew 13 about the kingdom of heaven. And in this parable, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. It would be considered a dragnet. And many of you, when you hear dragnet, you still think of Joe Friday years ago watching that television show. The dragnet, the way that worked was they would actually anchor one end of it on the shore. And these nets were pretty big, and they would pull it with a little fishing boat about a half a mile out into the lake. And so this net had obviously flotation devices on it as well as weights. And then they would circle back around and come back to shore. And as the name implies, it dragged and captured everything that was in, that it encountered. Absolutely nothing escapes the dragnet. And then Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like the dragnet let down into the lake. The kingdom of heaven. Other places it's called the kingdom of God, but it's the very same thing. It's sovereign. It rules. It defines everything. It controls everything. So the kingdom of God is this net, and the lake is the world. The shore is the end of life. We live in this net. Whether we like it or not, whether we know that or not, we live in this net with all kinds of stuff. Seaweed, weed, and rubbish, good fish, bad fish, fish we like, fish we don't like, some that we think we're better at than, and others that we think they're a lot worse than we are. Fish from different races and nationalities, languages, and customs. Yes, there's Republican fish, and there's Democratic fish, there's independent fish, there's Baptist fish, Roman Catholic fish, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Hindus and Muslims, white-collar fish, blue-collar fish, college-educated, ninth-grade dropouts, there's soldiers and pacifists. There is nothing that is not in the dragnet. In this setting, we are warned to remember our roles. And the main warning is we are not the sorters. We are not the sorters. Having said that, in many ways, the church is micro of the world. The church is called to be the kingdom of God in this world. And the church is invites and is mandated to bring people into the kingdom, room for everyone. But we are not called to pass final judgment on anyone. It's not our job to pass final judgment on those in the net with us. And sometimes we can get very critical of others. How often have you heard, if that's how they're going to act, I'm never going to be one of them? Not going to that church as long as so-and-so is there. I wouldn't worship next to that hypocrite. Are there hypocrites in the church? Absolutely. And always remember this. There's room for one more. We must never forget that the church is a hospital. And a hospital is where you meet sick people. The church is where people come to get healed. A place where people come to get well. We shouldn't be surprised when there's sick people at church. If we had a little church bus and we all went over to Hop Metro Hospital right now, would we all be surprised? Say, oh, look, sick people. Look, that guy just had bypass surgery. Look, there's somebody fighting cancer. Look, he's puking. Oh, my goodness. Look at that one moaning. Wouldn't you say, that's weird. We're at a hospital. What do you expect? I think we need to think of the church in that same way. In one way or another, we're all hurting. In one way or another, we're trying to get better. In one way or another, we are here to find healing. And so we also have to be careful that we don't become stumbling blocks to one another on this journey. So this 13th chapter in Matthew has much to say about the kingdom of heaven. I already mentioned that, but this particular parable that we just read is about final judgment and eternity. No one can escape the dragnet. No one. None of us can escape final judgment. That is why Jesus asked at the end of the passage we read, have you understood this? This is really critical. Have you understood this? Does this make sense to you? It's a simple message. We just read a few verses, but kind of a chilling one. You know, I just thought in the last 8 days, we've had three funerals. People we know. Every one of those people has experienced what we read about this morning in this parable. And one day you will, and one day I will too. Their net was brought to shore. That in the parable is when the net is brought to shore, that's the time of judgment. That's when the sorting starts. There are good fish and bad fish, two groups. One will be saved, the other one eternally condemned. And Jesus, through the word, the scriptures, lovingly and earnestly ask, are you totally ready for this? Or are you almost ready? Are you almost sure you'll go to heaven? Or are you totally sure that you will go to heaven? The net, the kingdom of heaven, gathers everyone in. Your grandma, your grandpa, your dad, your mom, your children, your sons, your daughters, your grandkids, world leaders, Supreme Court justices, people in China, Russia, Niger, Iceland, Bill Maher, Howard Stern, Bill Stephan, Mark Bergsma, Harry Koops, and you. Every one of us is in that net. And there's a day of judgment, a final reckoning. That's why Jesus asked the disciples and us, have you understood all of these things? This is really important stuff. And in Jesus' explanation, this is not to make it complicated or a mystery. Pretty straightforward. We're all going to be judged. One day I will have to give an account on whether or not I preached the whole counsel of God. Or did I almost preach the truth? Almost or totally. So, do we believe this stuff for ourselves, what we come and profess as Christians, and for our children and our friends? Or not really? Do we believe it totally? Or almost? See, I hear people say about unbelievers who are suffering, and when the unbeliever died, they said, they're better off now. They're no longer suffering. Is that true? Or do we just make that up to make ourselves feel better? See, this is a tough parable. This parable teaches that in the end, those who are not believers end up in a blazing furnace. Well, they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For those who are not followers of Jesus. So when we say, well, at least they're better off, their suffering's over. Would that make us liars or deniers? See, being in the net is the reality for everyone who has ever lived, everyone who is living, everyone who will live. And when we get to the shoreline, the sorting happens. And God says his servants will separate the good and the bad. The judge decides who the good fish are. This story, this parable, is really a version of when Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats. This is not just a little story stuck in. Jesus talks about this often, often. The good fish believe they're sinners. They believe they need a Savior. They confess their sins, commit their lives to Jesus. The bad fish live for self, deny the need for a Savior, no time for the things of God or worship. Some are in full rebellion, and some live in both worlds. Maybe the most dangerous place to be is to never surrender to Him totally, where you almost followed Christ, almost committed to Him, almost lived a life of gratitude and worship and obedience, almost made it into the kingdom of heaven. This speaks to the importance of fully surrendering one's life of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and having that personal relationship with Him. That's why it's so important to have daily devotions. My fear is that there's lots of anorexic Christians. Eat a couple of times a month. Rest of the time it's just junk food, getting by. Versus daily devotion, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time with the Lord, knowing what the Bible says. And that's so critically important because we're surrounded by so many distortions of the truth that we have to know what the truth is. And I think it's critically important to be part of and involved in the life of the church. And then I had this thought, for the children and the grandchildren that we love so much, we must commit our lives totally to Jesus so that they do not almost know Him, but that they too will totally know Him. And for us to do all we can, as much as that depends on us. Right now, all of us are intermixed in the net. But at the end, we get judged individually. It's not a group thing, not grading on a curve. We get judged individually. We will stand before the judge alone. No one escapes. But, I wouldn't end there. But, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then the judge is your Redeemer. He's your older brother. He's part of the family. You're part of His family. And then the day of judgment is an awesome promotion into the heavenly kingdom in all its fullness. That's what's awaiting for all of those who know Him as Savior and Lord. If He is not your Savior, then He is your judge. He will judge you on your merit. How well did you do? Remember that 99.9%? Did you live 100% perfection? Because if you didn't, He cannot welcome you into the kingdom. That is why Jesus asked us this morning, have you understood all these things? Have you understood all these things? The saddest line on a person's tombstone would be, he or she almost trusted Jesus. Almost heaven still equals hell. Father, we come to You, and we know that these are really stern lessons. But these are parables that You taught, and You ask, do you understand these things? Thank You that You don't leave us to live in despair or gloom, because when we know You as Savior and Lord, we don't have to fear any of this. And so that's my prayer. For each person here, that each person would have the assurance, the confidence, that to know that they are secure in Your grasp, that You will watch over their coming and going, both now and forevermore, And you are the one that will usher them into the heavenly kingdom. I also pray, Father, that there's any here that aren't sure of this, that are wondering if it's an almost or total, that you would convict their hearts in such a way that they would have no rest until they find their rest in you. Because that's the only place we can ever find peace in a world so broken. So we ask all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior. Pray in his name alone. Amen.